Okay, we're going to go in the scriptures, actually to the text that's on the green card, to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. I want to talk to you this morning and share from the Word of God about hope. You know, as we go into 2019, you know, trust that we're going to go in with hearts full of hope and confidence in the Lord. It says here in Romans 15 verse 30, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now before I just get into teaching you this morning and get into digging into this scripture, I just want to read this verse to you again, this time from one of the modern translations, a translation I like to quote from quite frequently. It's the Amplified translation. And it says this, in the Amplified, it says, "May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope." Not just like that, I like that translation there. "That you may be filled, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing or bubbling over with hope." Now this scripture tells us, it's right at the very beginning, it says, "Now may the God of hope." You know, God is the source of our hope. It doesn't come from the world. In actual fact, if your hope is in the world, you better change where you put in your confidence. The scripture says, and it's just the middle verse in the whole Bible, if you want to check it out, Psalm 118 verse 8. Right in the very heart of the Bible, Psalm 118 verse 8 says this, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man." It's better to trust in, because God is the source of our hope. And hope is conceived in our hearts by the Word of God. You know the scripture in Romans 10, where it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, hope and faith go together a little bit like a hand and a glove go together. Because hope is confident expectation in God. Confident expectation, and it's based, established, founded on the Word of God. Now what you see, and we're going to look at a little bit about this morning, and I want you to come with me to a scripture. I didn't give these scriptures to the brothers at the back, so they'll have to keep up with me as best they can. But if you come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Who knows this scripture? 1 Corinthians 13. You should be familiar with this one. The great love chapter is what it's known as. And we're going to read verse 13, the last verse of that chapter. And it says this, it says, "Now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Now what you see, we've got it there in one verse, but what you see woven through the whole of the scriptures, particularly the New Testament and also in the Old, you have faith, hope, love, all working together. Because these three graces of the Spirit of God, faith, hope and love, cannot be separated. Now, it says in this verse 30, it says, "The greatest of these graces is love. Why is love the greatest? Why? Because faith works by love. That's what the scripture says. That's in Galatians 5 verse 6. I'll read it to you. It says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, Paul's writing. He says, it is that you have faith. And he says, faith working through love. You know, faith works by love. What does he say at the beginning of the chapter? He says, I can have all faith so I can remove mountain, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. So faith works by love. Hope and faith are connected because they are very much the same thing. And we read in the scriptures, in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let's go there, shall we? Because this is a great scripture. Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance or the foundation or the support of the things we hope for. Again, in the Amplified Translation, it says this. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Now, it just adds a little point onto that. It says, faith perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. You know, faith is the substance. It's not something that you say, well, people describe faith as something abstract. No, faith is substance. It has, and it's the substance of the things we hope for. So in the scripture in Romans that we read, where it says, now may the God of hope. You know, God is the source of our hope. Why? Because it comes from Him, it comes from His Word. As we read His Word, as we read His promises, as we get to know God, you know, hope is conceived, faith is conceived. You know, and as we get to know God, you know, we get to know His love, and we experience His love, and these three all work together. And these three work together to produce what he says in Romans 15:13. He says that God will fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You know, joy and peace are the evidence of our hope. You know, when you're so full of joy and you're so full of peace, you can talk confidently about the things you hope for. And if you don't believe me, just look at a pregnant woman. How many pregnant women do you know that have, when they've got their baby, they're carrying their baby, how many of you have heard them never say anything about the baby? Because they talk about their baby all the time. They're excited about it. They're rejoicing. Some mothers, you know, they read all the books and they can tell you the exact size of the baby as it's growing inside them. They'll compare it to something like oranges. They say it's the size of an orange or it's the size of a lemon. Then you get to about 40 weeks and they say it's like a watermelon and it's ready. She's ready to give birth. And not only that, they start making preparations for the arrival of the baby. Now, not normally, maybe the president, or maybe her husband or her partner, starts to prepare the baby's room where it's going to sleep. They will decorate it. They will start to buy things, buy the cot, buy the brand, buy the bedding, buy everything that is needed, the bottles. You know, they start to prepare, the woman starts to get ready. She's excited, she's joyful. And what is it? It's in the hope that is to come. The fact that she's going to give birth to a baby. And when we are in hope, we are so full of joy and peace that we talk excitedly about the things we are hoping for. How many of you have gone for a new job? And you know it would be the perfect job for you if you could just get it. And you talk to yourself. You talk to yourself and say, if I just get that job, it'll be so good. I'll be able to do it. And you start building hope. You start building confidence. You know, you start to become so at peace about it. And full of joy that you just can't help to, yeah, if I can get this job, this will happen, this will take place. I'll be able to do all the things that I wanted to do. And we start building it up. One of the things we've seen recently, you know, we've just come through, we've just celebrated Nativity, the birth of the Lord Jesus. And we're still really in that season. But you see, joy and peace are key elements of the Nativity. Again, you don't need to turn it because I'm sure you've read it enough times over the last few weeks. But in the book of Luke, we see that the angel came when the angel announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds in the fields. The angel says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all mankind. You know, the season, the Nativity season, is a time of joy. Now, for a lot of people, especially children, it's a time of great joy because they're thinking about gifts and things that they're going to get. You know, they might have been filled with that confident expectation in the run-up to Christmas morning when they wake up and they finally... And they're wanting the latest gadgets, or they're wanting this, and they're talking, you know, I'm going to get this for Christmas, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get this. But it does bring joy for them. They receive it. But the joy we're talking about here is not that transient joy which has passed after a few weeks. When they've played the game, they've accomplished all the levels, and there's no more enjoyment from it. Or when they've, if it's a smaller toy, when they play with it so much and a little bit, and it looks a bit worn and it looks a little bit broken, and then it's cast aside as an old toy and it's no longer attractive to them. You know, that's just a transient joy. It comes and it goes. That's the little bit, that's the joy you get from sin. It looks attractive at first. It gives you pleasure for a season, but it is only for a season. But the joy of the Lord is everlasting. Amen? So, joy. Because what joy is there in the Nativity story? Well, the angel came announcing good tidings. That word good tidings there is the word we translate as gospel. The gospel, the good tidings, the gospel. And the gospel brings joy to men. The good tidings. You'll see it at the beginning of Mark's, gospel, where the writer, he says, this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. This word gospel here, as it's used in the scriptures, is very much the same like a young couple would make. Like when Debbie and Nathan announced to us that they were going to get married. That was good news. It was the gospel. When Joanna told us that she was going to have a baby, It was the gospel. It was good news. And that's how Mark uses it. It's the good news about Jesus Christ. And then he begins to proclaim what that good news was. And this is what the angels came announcing to the shepherds. Said, we're bringing you good tidings, good news. We're bringing you the gospel that there is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now the gospel brings joy to men, this good news. Why? Because we know as part of the gospel we have the joy of knowing our sins are forgiven. If you're not joyful about your sins being forgiven, then I would suggest you repent. Because who cannot be joyful to know that their sins are forgiven? That you're no longer going to hell, you're on the road to heaven. There's joy, the old hymn writer put it, there's joy in serving Jesus. Joy in living for the Lord. There's no greater joy than winning people for the Lord Jesus, winning souls, witnessing. You know, it's all wrapped up in the nativity. Why? Because Jesus came. That's what brings us joy. Luke goes on. The angels began proclaiming in Luke's gospel. You know what happens after they announce that there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Then the angels joined with other angels and they sang glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace. Peace. This peace. And actually, the angels came, they sang peace, goodwill to men. Now, I've not properly studied it through, but I believe that word there is the word good there is a little corrupted. Because I believe that what they're saying, what the angel said is that we're announcing to you peace, the peace of God, and God's will towards men. The will of God, the purpose of God, God's favor is being given and poured out to all men in the birth of Jesus. So he's saying that you can have peace. You know what peace is? It's that state of knowing that everything is right. Everything is good. And then the purpose and favor of God is being poured out in this baby that is born. Why? Because that's joy, that's peace. Then the nativity season is also about hope. What is the hope of the nativity story? Well, it's wrapped up in the prophecy of Isaiah and proclaimed through the angel Gabriel when he's making the announcement to Mary and Joseph. The hope of the nativity is that Emmanuel, God, is with us. That's our hope. We're no longer alone. God is now with us. You know, for centuries, for generations, the people of God, the Jewish people, were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a Savior. They were looking for the coming of the one who would save them. You know, that was their hope, their expectation, based on the Word of God. They knew that the Messiah was coming, and they were hoping, confidently expecting the Messiah to be born. Now, they may have missed it. They may have not recognized the birth of the Savior. But for us who believed, that hope finally gave way to joy and peace. The hope of the coming of the Lord. And it gave way to joy and peace. What we see again in the Nativity story, we see that Jesus is the Savior. And the Savior gives hope to all men. Let me read. Perhaps we could put it up on the screen to me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Ephesians Ephesians 2 verse 12. Because the Saviour gives hope. And here in Ephesians 2 it says, those who are without God are without hope. And the fact that Emmanuel, God, is with us should give us hope. At that time, he writes at the beginning of the verse, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, being strangers from the commonwealth. It says strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know, when you're away from the covenant, when you're away from the promise of God, there is no hope. You're without God. And to be without God is to be without hope. What is our hope? Well, in the Nativity we remember the coming of the Lord for the very first time. But there's a second hope that we are eagerly waiting for. We are eagerly anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus comes to take his bride back home. You know, we call this, the word we use in church is the word rapture. But the scripture calls this. And I want you to see, can you give me Titus 2 verse 13? Titus 2 verse 13. And we see what the scripture calls the coming of the Lord Jesus. Chapter 2 verse 13. It says, we are looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Amen. You know, this is the great hope, the blessed hope, the coming of the Lord Jesus. That's why when Jesus came, yes, he was the hope for as the Messiah. But now we're looking for the blessed hope, not of someone who will save us, but we are looking for our great God. This is the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Yes, he's taking us to be with him. Not just for one day, not just for a few years, not just for what we might think as a lifetime of between 70 and 100 years, but he's taken us for eternity. Hallelujah. That great hymn, Amazing Grace, puts it like this, when we've been there, how many years? 10,000 years is what the original one said. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we've first begun. You know, when we've been there 10,000 times 10,000 years. Now I'm gonna lose the comprehension here. We still haven't begun. You know, we'll be with the Lord forever. This is, I want to go back to Romans 15, because I see my time's running out as well. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. Now, we put it on the little green card, and it is, you know, my prayer for you this year, each and every one of you, is that God will abound, that hope will abound in you, you know, as we go into the coming year. But the power of the Holy Spirit is the fullness of our hope. It's the fullness of our hope. I want to
read you another scripture. In Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 27. It says here, it says, to them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. This is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, Christ in us through the power of the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit. He's the indwelling Holy Spirit in us. You know, His leading in our lives. And Romans 8 tells us that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, His leading our lives will bring us joy. It will bring us peace. You know, it will cause us to abound in hope. You know, we have prayed today for Debbie and Nathan. And what I will say applies to them, it applies to all of us. As we live for the Lord Jesus, as we allow the Holy Spirit to live through us, to lead us, to guide us, the Holy Spirit will fill us with hope. We will abound in hope. You know, there is nothing greater than allowing the Lord to lead you and guide you in every decision you make. You know, Jane and I, you know, as I've said before, you know, we pray for you all every day. Every day, we lift you to the Lord. We want you to know this year that we're praying that you will abound in hope, that you'll be filled with hope, filled with faith, expecting God to do greater things for you in 2019 than you ever experienced in 2018. Now, if you've not had a good year, well, look to God for a better year this coming year. If you had a good year last year, look for an even greater year. You know, expect God to lead you, to guide you. You know, take this scripture, you know, and just confess it every day, that the God of hope is filling me with all joy and peace as I believe. And I abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, let me leave that with you. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. What we've been celebrating this last week. Christ came. And as we remembered earlier, He came. Not so that we could have the season of celebration. He came because it was purposed, it was foretold in the scriptures that He would be born, He would die, He would be buried. The third day He would rise again from the dead. And we preach, and we believe, and the name of the fellowship here is the Full Gospel Praise Center. And the Full Gospel is not only that He died and rose again, but also that He's coming back as King to take us to be with Himself. The blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.